spending time in prayer and seeking the Lord's face and seeking for that which He would have me to bring. We are now in a time different in our nation than we've ever been in, really. And different than I've ever experienced in my lifetime, not simply because of COVID-19, but because of the political situation, the upheaval, the separation in this country, and the divisions that are there, and the hatreds that are evident on every hand. And as we look out at this world, we see a time of danger. We don't know what may be ahead in the future. And so, as I seek the Lord for His grace and mercy, my heart was strongly led to a passage we're familiar with. And yet sometimes we are familiar with passages that we have not really given the proper consideration to, or there are things that we learn that were there. We may know the passage, we may know the words, but the meaning and the application and the wondrous truth that we may derive from it seems to increase more and more, or that is the hope, as we look into Scripture. So I'm going to turn you to the best known of the Psalms tonight, and that's Psalm 23. A rich psalm indeed. I think this was the first psalm that I memorized when I was a little boy. And the second one, I believe, was Psalm 100. That's the one where I made my first application. I think I was 8 or 9 years old at the time, and found it to be so encouraging to me that God's truth would endure to all generations, no matter what comes in this world, no matter what takes place. The truth of God is forever. But I do believe Psalm 23 was the first one that I memorized. And I'd like to read it, and then we'll look particularly at verse 4. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, it's very interesting when you read this psalm that in the first three verses you find here that David uses the third person in the pronoun, he. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters, etc. When you get to the fourth verse in this psalm, it changes. And he speaks in the second person, personal pronoun. And, or the second part of this, as if in the first part, he's telling what the Lord has done for him. In the second part, he's speaking to the Lord Himself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Of course, this psalm has been a comfort to God's people for a long time, as it was written 900 years B.C. And this psalm, of course, is used oft times when death is close or for funeral services. And yet it goes far beyond that. Sometimes the application is way too limited for this psalm. And although it has its application in the time when we are passing from this world, it is a picture, this fourth verse particularly, of calm in the greatest of dangers, doesn't exclude death itself, but by no means is it limited to death. Not at all. And when we comprehend something of its meaning, it becomes a tremendously blessed thing for us. There is a sense, of course, in which this whole life in which we are in this world could be considered as the valley of the shadow of death. And then when we're brought by God's grace to know our Lord, when He redeems us from sin, bringing us to Himself and granting us His grace to look to Him and trust in Him alone, we have a whole new set of dangers we come into. There's still an adversary. There's still an old lion that would like to devour the sheep. He's still there. We still have dangers on every hand. And there are different kinds of dangers. But the picture here is used to describe a valley. And as I read as much as I could to learn as much about these times and shepherds and sheep in Palestine, it would seem that in the wintertime, the sheep graze in the valley. And it is there a better place for them to graze. And then when summer approaches, they need to move to higher pasture because there can come, of course, massive rains and so forth that would come in the valley. And in the summertime, they're going to find their food and their grazing ground in higher pasture. And so the shepherd must lead them there. He must take them in the path that brings them to that higher place. And of course, the way is really a dangerous way. There are cliffs in the way. This is a thick forest. There are crevices in the rocks of the mountains where wild beasts can hide. And so it can bring fear and dread. It's a place where danger appears to be very close by. And yet the whole psalm here in this verse 4 is a picture of a shepherd in whose care alone the safety of the sheep depend. Their whole safety is dependent upon the shepherd in whose care they are. Their whole safety. And he alone can lead them through the greatest of dangers and bring them to the higher pasture, to their destination. The sheep are completely dependent upon the shepherd, to bring them safely to their appointed place. And he does this by his watch care over them, and with his rod and staff, by keeping them in the right way, and keeping the way open for them, and protection for them. The way to glory, past all the dangers on the way, securing the safe arrival there, is all in the hands of our great shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd of the sheep. And if this is truly understood, if this is really known, if this is embraced aright, if we believe and trust him in the biblical sense of the word, then all cause for fear is removed. There is no cause then for fear for the sheep. And the whole comfort, all of it, the whole comfort of this great truth is found in these words: Thou art with me. Thou art with me. And the only disturbance that can come then in the way only comes if our eyes are moved to the danger and away from our wondrous shepherd. If we look at the dangers, we'll look away from the shepherd. That's where the problem comes. That's where the disturbance comes. Our Lord Jesus is Himself the way. And it's ours to follow our shepherd, to keep our eyes steadily upon Him, and to listen to His voice. Those who don't listen don't hear. And those who do not hear do not understand. And those who do not understand don't possess the faith that trusts Him in the midst of whatever dangers seem to be in the way. As narrow as is the way, and it was a very narrow way, we cannot move out of that way as long as we see, as long as we hear, as long as we follow the great shepherd of the sheep. Even though there are dangers that seem to press on every hand, if our eyes are upon Him, we remain in the way. We remain on the path. We are protected by Him. And so, we must walk through this valley. There's no way not to walk through this valley. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. There's an operative word, through. Through. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So then David's though is not a though I might walk through this valley, or though in case I walk through this valley, but it's in the sense of though I am in this valley. Knowing Thy presence with me removes the fear of its dangers and destructions. Though in this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. It's a wondrous song. The valley is a very narrow place. The path through it is only known by the shepherd. He alone knows the way through this valley, none other. With the beasts of prey that lurk in the thickness or in the crevices of the rock or the mountains or the hills. And there are bypaths that are close by that can lead out of the way. The only real danger for the sheep lay only in a fear that would stop them or cause them to go back or to flee to try and escape the difficulty away from the shepherd. And they could escape it into the greater difficulty on away from the shepherd, or taking a forked path away from His leading. But as long as the sheep stay close to the shepherd, as long as they hear His voice in truth, as long as they follow Him, they are in no real danger of destruction. He keeps them. He protects them. He is their shepherd. If and when the way comes to going through death itself, the scripture softens even the word for death for the believer, often speaking of it as sleep. But when the time comes, even for that journey, the shepherd also knows the way. He carries his sheep through it. Even then, Thou art with me. thou art with me. And of course, the shadow of death can have its application to death itself. In the book of Job, chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, Job speaks of that. Yet, for the Lord's sheep, even that time is but a shadow. Shadows can't hurt you. They can't do a thing to you. There's no way they can hurt you. I think of sometimes, you know, airplanes have a path over our house going to Richmond International Airport. And sometimes they come down and the shadow goes over. I've been under the shadow of an airplane. That airplane hit my house, that'd be a terrible thing. But that shadow can't do a thing. That shadow can't hurt me. Not at all. It's impossible. And the Lord takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. Our shepherd, of course, went through death itself. Not just its shadow. He tasted it, as we're taught in the book of Hebrews. He experienced all of its horrendousness, its horrors. Death itself. And he conquered it. And when he conquered it for you and me, who've been called to him, to be his, to belong to him. He removed its sting. That's why Paul could taunt death in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And he opens its way for us into even higher pastures. Our Lord shows us the path of life, even through the shadow of death. He could say in Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. There is no evil that can destructively befall us, because our Lord knows the way through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Do you know that fear is a great enemy to faith? Fear is an enemy to faith. Anxious fear comes against true faith. And yet, as long as we are close to and in the presence of our shepherd, fear has no place. We need not fear. Matter of fact, that's what the Lord tells us, if we know his presence. I think one of the greatest promises for me is in Isaiah 41, verse 10. I'm pretty sure that's the place. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. That enemy is conquered when we're close to our shepherd, when we're in his presence. You see, fear only arises when he is out of sight. When he is out of sight, all that remains will be the dangers, the difficulties, the hard things, the trials, the pains, the sorrows, the fears. That's what we'll control, unless the shepherd is in our sight. Then the dangers don't present themselves like they did. And here we must also make an important application. Sheep are to follow the shepherd together. They flock. They flock together. There are those who think they can go it alone. They really don't need the people of God. They don't need the church. Well, they're way out of bounds as far as the scriptures are concerned. Sheep flock together. And then to be away from the flock is, in a sense, to be away from the shepherd. The Lord is with his sheep. He's with those who gather. And so that's very important. I don't know how much that is understood in our day, because, of course, we are pushed sometimes to so much self-centrality and self-sufficiency that people don't think they need one another. Or they think they're going to get their fulfillment in other ways or in the world. Doesn't happen that way. Sheep flock together. And so they're to follow the shepherd together. And the safety is found only in Christ. Only in him. So briefly, let's consider the way in which we're to walk with our shepherd. We're to walk calmly with him. We're to walk calmly with our shepherd. A calm way. Walking. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not a hustle. It's not a worry to get out of the way of difficulty. It's not a being overwhelmed with a sense of fear and anxiety and activity and escapism. It's a calm way. There is no other calm way. Walking. Whatever trials, whatever difficulties appear to be in the way, our Lord takes us through them. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, even when appointed trials are there for us. We're taught, as in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's not the promise that he's going to remove all our troubles. There's the promise that he will sustain us if we trust him, if we lay hold of his care and we cast our care upon him. He will keep us through the difficulty. When temptations come, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He takes us through. He's our strength in the midst of it. Even when it comes time to die, our pace is not to change to furious and fearful activity. And that, of course, can be the most fearful time for most. And yet, the Lord is there to take us through the shadow. The shadow. And the shadow can't hurt you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So, this way is a way of walking, to walk with our shepherd, a calm way. He doesn't drive them through this way. He leads them. He goes before. He protects. And then it's a confident way. Confidence. No need for fear. If confidence is there in him alone, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You see, our Lord is over all realms. There's not a realm he's not over. He created all things. He brought all things into existence. You exist because of him. And if by God's grace you've been regenerated, made a child of the living God, that's his doing. He's over the realm of this world. He's over the realm of things we can't see. He commands the angelic host and they do his bidding. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He's over all realms. And not only so, but he's ruling all things in regard to his redeemed church, his regenerate people. And they always remain the apple of his eye. So it's a confident way. And if there is a light, or rather if there is a shadow, then there has to be a light beyond it. You have to have a light to project a shadow. The darkness and the light are alike to him. There's no difference, as we're taught in Psalm 139. And our light in the darkness is the Lord himself. If he's in our spiritual sight, we have a light in the midst of the darkness. The Lord is our light. How can we fear? That's, of course, in Psalm 27, isn't it? In the first verse. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, if we can comprehend that and comprehend Psalm 23, verse 4, it doesn't matter what takes place in the world as far as our relationship to him is not going to move us from him. It's not going to remove his love. It's not going to unredeem us. We are his. We are his. And nothing is taking place but what he is working for an eternal good. That one day we shall be like him. One day. Even now, we have to grieve and mourn over sin. Even now, I was reading Ezekiel 33. I think it was yesterday, reading Ezekiel. And God says, yeah, be ashamed for your own sins. I'm ashamed of my sins. When I remember them, I'm still ashamed of them. I still grieve and mourn over them. And yet God goes on to say, he cleanses, he forgives. But one day all of that will be past. My, that's a greater pain of soul for the child of God than the pain that comes in body and afflictions. And yet that's going to be over one day, all past. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that all the things that I have to be ashamed of when my memory kicks in. But that'll be gone. That won't be there. And even now, God puts it away in his judicial forgetfulness. But he tells us, you can be ashamed. That has its work. It works in us a true humility if we comprehend it. If God has worked in us, yes. We owe our salvation to him alone. We owe all to him. And if his light has come to our souls and we trust him, we look to him and we've met him at the cross. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The purpose of our God cannot be overturned. There's no one capable of doing that. And his purpose, of course, for us is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Chosen in him, accepted in him, redeemed by him, kept by him. It's all in Christ. to all what God has done in our Lord. So that no matter how small and weak we feel in ourselves, how wretched at times we may feel ourselves to be, we can follow our Lord with no fear of evil. He redeems. He cleanses. We look to Him. We trust only in Him. And He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." It's a way of faith. It's a calm way. We walk. It's a confident way. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a faith way. Because the shepherd is with his sheep, and to him we are to look, and him alone we are to trust. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I don't know how we could acquire greater comfort. I don't know how greater comfort could be afforded. No greater security could be possible. No stronger fear calming knowledge could be possibly found in this promise. "For thou art with me." This promise we find so often in Scripture, throughout Scripture. This wonderful promise often given us not only brings the greatest of confidence and calm in the way, it brings the greatest of joy. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." God, David could speak of as his exceeding joy. That's not a passing thing. That's not a temporary thing. That's not something that the difficulties in the way or the pains we suffer or the trials we go through can destroy. That's only destroyed by unbelief. That's only destroyed when the sight of our soul is somewhere other than to our Lord. That's only destroyed when our focus is in the wrong place. And we don't see the world through different eyes. And we don't see our course in the proper biblical way. And so Paul can write, "Let your conversation, the way you live in the world, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That's a problem with the world, fearing man. If man is feared, it's because man is some way the object of trust and hope. "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." I don't want my trust to be in men. I don't want to look to them for my safety and security. Not the greatest of men. Not the best of men. But only Christ, who is Lord over all things. For if your focus is somewhere else, you're going to live in constant disturbance. But if your eyes are upon Him, you can calmly walk through this valley. To our souls, we can then say, "Fear be gone. The Lord is thy sure protection." It's one truth. It's calmed in uncountable saints, even when the time comes for passage through death itself. It becomes just a shadow. And it becomes simply an opening to the higher pastures. to be with the Lord. But I'm glad to know something here. I'm glad to find out from this verse that it's the shepherd who keeps his sheep in the way. And not only does he keep his sheep in the way, he keeps the way for them. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That shepherd's rod is the emblem of his authority. The sheep know this is the one who has all the authority. The shepherd directs his sheep. They submit to him and look only to his rod. But the rod of our shepherd also affords something else. It affords great comfort. This rod is used in various ways, and of course you can read about the rod in Scripture being used in various ways. This rod can be used for our correction, to correct us when we're walking in a wrong way. That's a great comfort. Even when difficulty and hard things come, we're prevented from doing what we think we should be doing. We haven't sought his face. We're not walking in accordance with his will. We wander. Your sheep tend to do that. And then when difficulties come, he's doing something to teach us, to correct us, to educate us in the right way. And when we comprehend that he draws us, he won't allow us to walk. We might stumble out of the way for a little. We're not going to stay there. He's going to quickly get us back. That's my hope as a pastor. Not only for myself, but for you. You see, I care for the sheep. I care for the Lord's sheep. I have a heart that yearns to see the progress in Christ, the stability in him, the drawing ever closer to the shepherd, the chief shepherd himself. I'm just this little under-shepherd. I'm just a tiny little servant, weak, frail, unable, but he's able. And that's my hope. He has to keep the sheep ultimately. Yeah, he sets forth under shepherds. But it's he who must direct and keep and correct the sheep. He does that sometimes through the ministry of the word, and I'll tell you what, I would a whole lot rather be corrected through the ministry of the word than having to go through some of the trials that are necessary for correction. But however he brings that correction, he can say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If we comprehend that those things whereby he keeps us in the way, those things are necessary, and those things are not because he's mad at us. Those things are because he loves us and won't allow us to go out of the way. And when we comprehend that, we can rejoice in him and thank him for it and for his care. Sheep are prone to wonder. Indeed, just like the song, the hymn we sang. And so, the rod gives wisdom. That's Proverbs 29, verse 15. When we're wise enough to hear the rod, one of the psalmists says to kiss the rod. To kiss the rod. And and the recognition that our Lord is keeping. The rod is also used to do something else. The shepherd used that rod to beat off the beasts that would otherwise devour the sheep. Because our Lord is the defender of the sheep. He's the one who defends the sheep. And I'm sure glad of that. And he has a rod of iron. And he can take care of those that would harm his sheep. But there's also another blessed use of the shepherd's rod. I won't turn you there, but if you want to write down the reference in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37, the rod was used to count the sheep. They would go under the rod. He would make sure that all the sheep were present. And that's a tremendous thing, because ultimately our knowledge is that our wonderful shepherd alone secures his sheep. I love that. I'm glad of that. I can't keep myself unless he's keeping me. And yet he says, this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. This is where we get the maximum security passage in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You see, this rod is the emblem of the shepherd's authority. The shepherd's staff was used for support. The strength of the staff determines the sure standing of those who lean upon it. How strong is the staff? So what one depends upon for strength is the spiritual application of the staff. In Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 6, God speaks of the time when Israel trusted Egypt, calls them a staff of reed. It would break. It had no strength. It's the strength of the staff that's important. In Psalm 105, verse 16, it speaks of the staff of bread. Of course, to live even physically, we need bread. In the spiritual sense, of course, we need bread. Thus, we can take comfort in the absolute security of our Lord's staff. You see, our Lord's staff is used for our support, not his. And that's a wondrous thing. He is himself our staff. He is our staff of bread. He is our bread of life. It is eating of him that we feast. It is looking to him that we find our calm. It is trusting him that we know he is our protector and our defender all the way to glory. Doesn't mean we're going to get out of difficulty in the world, but we are going to get out of difficulty. And he's going to work and bring us to those higher pastures. His word is our staff, because it's the means of our knowing him. It's the means of our faith in him. It's our title to everything that belongs to us as the redeemed of the Lord. So I think of Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. Didn't just look at them and leave them. He prayed about them. He meditated on them. He thought about them. He had them in his very being. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It's no marvel that in this day of technology and social media and games on computers and phones and everything else, that one day that's going to cause great trouble, because that's where men or women or boys and girls find their delight and their activity. That's not going to help them when the hard times come. That's not going to sustain them when the trials arise. That's not going to be there to instruct them in the right way when there are dangers on every hand. But the Word of God will. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, we seek what we really rejoice in. We seek what we really, really want and desire. We go after it. We attempt to do what we really want to do. Isn't that so? I think of David's words in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. You see, that'll bring us to the understanding that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not want for rest. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. I shall not want for nourishment and food. He leads me into the green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment. He leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want for strength to continue. He's the one that restores my soul. He leads in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yes, it's a tremendous psalm. May God bless the ministry of his holy word.